Blog Talk Radio.
Get ready. You're listening to Professionally Botched Wrestling.
Everybody, and welcome to the second episode of Professionally Botched Wrestling. I am your host with the most. That's dumb. I am Monday Night Raw Dog. That's not much better. Anywho, I am Michael Moore, and I am going to be shoving together this piece of shit of a show today to give to you the audio that you deserve. It's not the audio that you need. I don't know why I'm trying to tie this into comic books. That's real dumb. So apologize for that. Anyways, this episode is going to be real sloppy because, for one, I can't get some of the audio to work. And for two, I fell asleep during some of the shows this week because they just weren't great. So anywho, we're going to go ahead and we're going to get ourselves to the gorilla position. So this week, I did my best to watch Monday Night Raw, SmackDown. I was going to watch 205 Live. Oops, that didn't happen. Thankfully, my friend and fellow comedian, Steve Gaines, is back again this week, and he's picking up my slack for NXT both last week and this week, when I should have been reporting on these things in the first episode, and I screwed it up. So there you go. He's holding my hand, and he's also going to do that for Impact. We do not have a Ring of Honor update this week, because again, I fell asleep and did not get a chance to watch it. I'm going to make Steve Gaines just like record all of the updates because he's super detailed and pretty awesome about it. As long as I can get his audio to work. It looks like TNA is going to work. Impact Wrestling is going to work. But right now it's still telling me that NXT is processing. So I don't know what is going to happen. I guess we're all going to learn together. Anyways, this week, so like I say, I watched a couple of these things. Hopefully we can stumble through them. Let me try to pull up my notes here. I want to encourage everybody to please, there it goes, NXT has now updated. So that's fabulous because that could have been a mess real fast. Anywho, I want to encourage everybody to that when you're listening live, if you get a chance, please jump into the chat, chat it up with me. I'm going to do my very best to bounce back and forth between pages here so I can see the chat room and whatnot. I would also like for people to call in. So if you'd like to call in, the number is 515-605-9747, and we'll talk about some wrestling and see where it goes from there. But again, that number is 515-605-9747, and that should put you in to me to talk about wrestling stuffs. I guess really that's it for the grill position. I don't have too much to talk about at this point, but we're going to go ahead and we'll move into the dirt sheet, and we're going to talk about some stuff from Rumor Roundup on cagesideseats.com. All right, kids, so rumors for the day. Like I said, I'm getting these from cagesideseats.com. They are the best that I can find so far with the most exciting and most relevant rumors of the week. And not only the rumors of the week, but today we're going to talk about the rumors of today. So right now, rumors for the day. There are big bets have been coming in on Samoa Joe to win the Fatal 5-Way at Extreme Rules, leading to speculation he's been chosen as the next challenger to Brock Lesnar. Awesome. I love one of the two of those people, and it's not Brock Lesnar. Like I said last week, I still don't get why he is around. Please, if Samoa Joe does take on Brock Lesnar, hopefully for the title, he'll steal that shit because we need Brock Lesnar out of here. Some people love him. I don't get it. He's not even a part-timer anymore. He doesn't even work part-time. He's hardly ever around, but he's the champion. Why are we doing this? Why are we letting all of these people that sit here and they wrestle day in, day out, work their asses off, get the injuries, work through the injuries, come back, and they don't get a fucking chance? And then you're going to put the belt on this douche that's never there and rarely even does his mouthpiece, Paul Heyman, show up. So what is happening? Why are we going to do this to ourselves? I don't get it. Do you have an opinion on the matter? I would love to hear it. Remember, we're going to do our best to watch this chat situation, and you can always call in. Right? Right. So next, the Observer notes that there's been some talk of Vince McMahon doing an episode of Table for Three. Now, granted, I have not watched an episode of Table for Three yet. Maybe we'll get that tossed into because... Listen, I watched the first episode of Camp WWE, which we talked about last week that we would do, and then we would talk about it because I hate myself, apparently, and I suffered through that. So maybe next week, I would like to burn through the episodes of Camp WWE because there weren't many, because that show, it looks like, has been canceled, rightfully so. But maybe we can get this Table for Three situation set up and start watching these and commenting on these, because I would love to be able to see this stuff. It looks like some really cool things are talked about. Some, you know, I guess maybe it's some like insider stuff. I don't know. But I would like to watch that. So Vince McMahon might be doing an episode of that, which would be very cool. Anywho, moving on. The Usos and Naomi missed the recent SmackDown Live house shows because they were filming a new TV show. Because that's what we need, is another TV show. And this one with the Usos and Naomi. Listen, guys, I'm over Naomi. And I've said it before, saying it again. The Usos gimmick is okay right now. It's kind of cool. The thug life that they've got happening. So that's okay. I'm not mad at that, but I don't necessarily think that I want to watch more TV with Naomi. I did see where Ember Moon is now cleared for action. So we need to get this girl pushed. And we need to get her onto the main roster like ASAP, please and thank you. Yeah, sure. I talk a lot about her. I might have a little bit of a crush. I think she's pretty awesome, but I think she's an excellent wrestler. And, if we're boiling it down to, honesty, I don't think that Naomi is, and somehow she's champion, which good for her. She's been around for a while, but, hang it up. Moving on. According to the Observer, the Usos, Naomi, and Randy Orton will all be missing house shows this weekend, but will be back for TV. So apparently house shows happening today and maybe tomorrow. I'm not entirely sure when all those go down. But the Usos, Naomi, and Randy Orton are missing those. Probably the Usos and Naomi are recording the dumbass TV show. So there you go. Have that. WWE may be working more with Progress and ICW going forward, including deals to put its programming on the network. There we go. Get some more stuff on the network. Let's do that for our $9.99 a month. I said last week that they're definitely not paying me to say that, but I am a shill, so I'll push it. The network's great, so get on that if you're not. I mean, listen, there are so many things that you can get on the network to watch and to quench your thirst for professional wrestling. So why not? You used to have to pay monthly for all these damned pay-per-views, and you get so much more. I don't know why I'm pushing this so hard. Let's move on. Anywho, that's the latest for this third day of June by means of Rumor Roundup. Oh, I'm reading that again. My bad. Apparently, Harley Race broke both of his legs in a fall. Let's click on this and see what's happening. He's an older fella, so let's see. Race sustained a fracture to his right femur and suffered breaks in his left fibula and tibia, as well as a spinal break. Jesus, he's not going to be walking anywhere. Spiral break of his left ankle. The Hall of Famer required emergency surgery to relieve the swelling in both legs late Tuesday night. Subsequently received 4 blood transfusions and underwent surgery on Friday to reset the fractures. He's 74 years old, so he's real fragile, guys. He needs to be careful. Somebody needs to be watching him. Guys, I'm not seeing anything else that really stands out. Again, I'm slapping this show together this week. I apologize. We're going to get this thing together because I just haven't been doing the correct research, so I apologize. Nobody's listening to this. Why am I apologizing? Guys, what we're going to do, we're moving on to the lockup, and we're going to start with Monday Night Raw. All right, so Monday Night Raw, let's see here. This whole week I was kind of bored by everything that happened. So I guess that's good because last week I rambled about just about everything. But this week on Raw, there was the Memorial Day tribute as usual, which is great. The Miz Maurice started things out. We had some Cesaro and Sheamus happening. They were on the Miz's show, Miz TV. And so they were running their mouth. It looks like it's going to be the Miz and Dean Ambrose at Extreme Rules. Remember Extreme Rules tomorrow night. So watch that so I can watch that. And we can kind of talk about it next week because I'm awful at this so far, guys. We're going to get this thing together. But here's the thing. Monday Night Raw. There was an impromptu 6-man tag with Cesaro, Sheamus, and The Miz versus Dean Ambrose and a couple other people that I didn't put in here, apparently. I do not have that in here at all, and I don't remember the shit whatsoever because it was so obvious that it was going to happen, I just did not care. In the match, though, it was the Hardy Boys, because here we go. In the match, it looked like there was a botched twist of fate. So that's convenient, since you're listening to Professionally Botched Wrestling. PBW, y'all. I don't know. I always stumble on that. My bad. Anyways, it looked like Matt went for the twist of fate. And it was really weird, because he like flipped the Miz over and they went down on their backs, both of them. But he like went for the twist of fate first, and it's kind of like they missed it, and so they went back again, which is kind of funny. But I don't understand why they did it like backwards, and they both fell to the ground. But whatever, Swanton Bomb on the Miz for the win. Corey Graves gets a text message and walks off stage. Later on, we find out that the text message was with Kurt Angle, and there's some rumors surrounding that. Trying to upend Kurt's career, I guess, his situation with the WWE, there's dramas. So, whatever. Again, this week, I just did not care. Elias Sampson, I'm not even sure why this is happening. He's not even a good singer. And I think I said this last week, I'm going to say it again. Why are there so many singers in the WWE right now? Everybody got to sing, and I don't get it at all. Listen, if you were here chatting with me or on the phone, we might be able to figure this damn thing out. But I'm seeing that there still is nobody, so we're just going to keep rolling on with my half-assed notes. Let's see. Samson beat the crap out of the poor Zach Evans. This is another thing, like earlier with the impromptu six-man tag match, it was so obvious that was going to be set up and that was going to happen. But now, like, the jobbers are so obvious. Like, they bring in these poor little suckers to get their asses beat, and it impresses nobody. And then, so, like, this Samson dude, he's just like a supersized Seth Rollins, and he ends up winning the match, and I just did not care. There was a Samoa Joe and Bray Wyatt package, video package, talking shits. Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe versus Bray Wyatt. Hooray! Samoa Joe ends up stealing the pin after the coup de grace on Bray Wyatt. So there's that. I'm thrilled that I actually wrote down coup de grace and I spelled it right. So you're welcome. Rich Swann with Sasha Banks and Noam Dar with Alicia Fox. There's going to be a mixed tag at Extreme Rules. So that's going to happen. Again, I'm kind of over Alicia Fox. And what's with this whole Rich Swann, Sasha Banks situation? I don't know. Just kind of started happening, right? I haven't been able to keep up with NXT. Like I said, thank goodness my friend Steve has got us covered. And once I start or stop rambling about all this crap, we're going to get to his updates and everything will be fine. Let's see. Big Cass, the rumor, we're trying to set up this whole thing where maybe Big Cass is beating up Enzo. Come on, guys. If they break up this tag team, what's happening? Because, like, I don't see either one of those really as an individual wrestlers competing individually. They make a great tag team, very exciting, fun to watch. But if they're going to do this thing where Cass is beating up Enzo and then they're going to end up breaking up, I'm just not going to have it. You're going to feel my wrath, nobody out there. Next, Kalisto versus Titus O'Neil. Again, I don't understand why Kalisto is on Monday Night Raw. Should be on that 205 Live situation. That's where I feel like he could really excel with those guys doing the high-flying stuff and the fast pace and all the exciting happenings. But here he is fighting another big dude, which he should be getting squashed by. But I did not put it in my notes whether or not he won, so I do not remember. I'm going to say he probably did an embarrassed Titus. I don't know. So there you go. Alexa Bliss versus Bayley. They're going to have a kendo stick on a pole match tomorrow night. That'll be interesting to see. These ladies, they're fun to watch. I really like Alexa Bliss. I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. She's a Columbus native, and that is where I am at. So, you know, home team. They did this stupid segment with Bayley, This Is Your Life. Why do we have to keep playing this song over and over and over again? The Rock did that shit previously, and I think we've seen it several times since, and here we go again. But I think I saw somewhere on the interwebs that it did not go well back out live in front of the audience. Nobody gave a shit about the Bayley, This Is My Life, Your Life. And apparently backstage, it was the same situation. They didn't like it. So who knows what's going to happen after that. Neville and Austin Aries, they fought. So that's something. but Austin Aries gets Neville to tap the last chancery. I think that's what that was. Cool, whatevs. I don't remember why I put this in here, but it makes me giggle. I put, I'm Mary Poppins, y'all. That's a quote from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, but I'm going to imagine that it has to do with the little dude that carries the umbrella, the little British dude, in the cruiserweights. And here's the thing. They have rebranded, I don't know if I talked about this last week or not, but they've rebranded TJ Perkins to this TJP, and now that's all I can hear. Whenever a match is being called, that is all I hear. It stands out so much that now they're trying so fucking hard to do this whole TJP bullshit. And I just can't unhear it. It's so annoying. Like, they're pushing it so, like, every five words, TJP. I don't care. Thank you. And everything revolves around me, guys. I promise. Anywho, R-Truth and Goldust, they're doing these little movie vignette situations. R-Truth was funny, so there's that. I really should take more detailed notes, I promise, next time. Tomorrow, we're starting tomorrow with Extreme Rules. You're going to hear all this shit. Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins. That's all I put, and I don't remember what the fuck happened. So we are moving on to SmackDown Live, and I have like five notes. Because I think I fell asleep during this one too, and I just don't care. This shit was so boring to me. So, Nakamura and Sammy versus Corbin and KO. For the most part, this is okay. Again, I'm not a Nakamura fan. So, he could disappear into the sunset, and I'd be fine with that. But apparently, if rumors are correct, it sounds like maybe the WWE is trying to turn Nakamura into the new face of the company. Because let's be honest, John Cena is kind of winding down his clock. He's going to be finishing shit up here soon. And he'll be around. He's not going anywhere. But he is doing movies and doing other things. I don't believe that he's going to abandon the company in any way, but they do need to put another face on the company because they can't just keep pushing him if he's nowhere to be seen. But anyways, the New Day is back. I like the New Day. They're fine. I'm glad to see that they're back. I'm glad that they didn't drag that shit out like the whole Lana situation and the Emma thing before that where they're like, coming, 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 and then they finally come, and then it's, that sounds real sexual, so I apologize. They finally show up, and it isn't worth a damned. So I'm glad that the New Day is back. Hopefully they'll get on things fast. They were talking to the Usos, I believe. So there's that. Fashion Files again. I put in here, Sweet Richard Simmons. That was a quote that happened within this segment that I thought was hilarious. But I'm trying to find out what's happening with Tyler Breeze. They keep putting him in all these lady clothes. What are they trying to accomplish with this? Just the whole gimmick kind of smells of them trying too damned hard to include everybody. I could be reading into this wrong, but that's just kind of how it feels. So I guess that's that. Again, I didn't take very detailed notes, and we're going to be wrapping SmackDown up here real quick, like, because we're about halfway through what I had written down. Charlotte versus Carmella versus Tamina versus Natalya versus Becky. That match never really officially started. They just kind of all started beating on each other and putting each other through tables. Natalya powerbombed through the table by Charlotte. So that was pretty cool. I love what they're doing with the women's wrestlers, that they're actually giving them shots at really performing and really doing these things that only the guys used to do. And so it's super exciting to watch, and they're able to pull this stuff off, and it looks great. So I'm hoping that they keep pushing this. And this at the Money in the Bank later on this month, they're going to have the first ever women's Money in the Bank ladder match. So that'll be interesting to see. So that's that. Hopefully they don't nix that off the card. I'm going to say that they probably won't, because Shane McMahon had popped out of the back to announce this particular match. So I have a feeling that that's not going anywhere anytime soon. It looks like Breezango and the Colognes fought. Couldn't tell you who won. Didn't write that down. And my very last note is that Ziggler fought AJ. And I don't know what happened with that either. So there you go. Follow up on the network and see what the hell happened. So that was beep, boop, boop. That was SmackDown Live. Thank the sweet baby Jesus we made it through that, guys. Let's see. Still nobody on chat. Still nobody calling up my switchboard. So let's go ahead, and I'm going to kick it over to my friend Steve Gaines for NXT.
This is Mr. Entertainment Steve Gaines with your two-week NXT update for June 3rd. Well, Aleister Black continued to impress, while Curt Hawkins continues to digress. They wrestled a few weeks ago on NXT, and I've got to tell you, Aleister Black looks good. He looks like he's on the way up. Curt Hawkins, I'm not sure what his future is going to be with WWE. When you become someone that's a loser most of the time in NXT, I'm not sure you've got a lot of future left. It's a shame, because Curt Hawkins once had a promising career. Let's hope that he, wherever he lands, whenever the WWE is through with him, he gets another good run before it's over with. Well, they finally debut the Velveteen Dream. And I've got to tell you, the Velveteen Dream is very athletic, but I'm not sure what kind of legs the character is going to have. He looks like a very muscular prince. And I've got to tell you, he's got some great moves in the ring. And his elbow splash, that's huge, huge air. So hopefully he'll have a little bit of a run. But until we hear some mic work, it's hard to say. You know, we'll see as time goes on. Drew McIntyre continues to roll since his return to WWE. He's destined to have a serious run at Bobby Roode, and let's hope he gets the chance to show what he can do as his own man this time. Wesley Blake, he wrestled against, and Wesley Blake has the talent to be a star. But with the influx of so many already established stars from places like Impact, Ring of Honor, New Japan, he seems to be getting lost in the shuffle. And that's a shame, but I think, you know, that's going to be a tough thing for young development talent in NXT. The fight to get into the WWE is only going to get tougher as more and more of these superstars come into the NXT from outside. The DIY fallout continues. Why Tommaso Ciampa? Why? Well, we got our answer this week. Ciampa come out, and his knee is hurt, and he's going away, but he made sure we knew that his attack on Gargano was because the fans wanted to replace him as Gargano's partner when it looked like he wouldn't be able to make it at Chicago. And so it's our fault. But then it's also Gargano's fault, because after the loss at the ladder match, he felt that Gargano would replace him as well while he was out injured. And so he decided he was going to put Johnny Wrestling out for a long time as well, because he will not be replaced. And he let us know that when he comes back, he's going to be the most dangerous man in NXT. And I can tell you, I'm actually excited about this. I know a lot of you love DIY, but Tommaso Ciampa, for those of you that remember him in Ring of Honor with his television title run, he's better as a heel. I like him as a heel. I actually like this promo a lot. I think it showed a side of him that we may not have gotten to see. And I'm also excited for when he does come back. And when Johnny Gargano comes back, I think you're going to have a great feud there between the two. And whoever comes out of that will probably get a run at the NXT Championship. Bobby Roode continues his glorious reign with a celebration. He's going to celebrate his win, take over Chicago, his match over Hideo Itami. But not with us on NXT. Because he tells us we're not worthy to celebrate with a glorious one. But he wants us to know that it is still his NXT. Carry on, glorious one, carry on. Paul Dunn defends his newly won UK championship against Danny Burchill in a pretty decent match. And first let me say, Congratulations to Dunn and also Tyler Bate, who he defeated for the championship at TakeOver Chicago, on putting on the best wrestling match I've seen in WWE in years. The Bruiserweight only got a week and a half off, and he's back defending his title. Burchill looks in great shape, and he put up a good fight, but Dunn was just too much and retains. Nice little promo at the end by him, letting us know that the UK Championship is his, and that division had never really started until he got his hands on the title. Look for a good reign by him. Top talent. He's a top talent. Andrade Cien Almas, he comes out. He's got a stern test this week against big man Cesar Bonini, and though he started out strong, dominating the match, his arrogance failed him, let off the gas pedal a few times. And every time he lets off the gas pedal, it opens the door for his opponents, as we've seen in recent outings from him. And that it opened the door, Bonini would get in some spurts of offense, and eventually the opportunity to counter a suplex attempt into a small package got him the win. Well, it was a surprise win. Almas was very angry. He then brushed off his anger, smiling and deciding that the loss wasn't that big a deal. Well, his laissez-faire attitude continues to see him stall when he should be soaring. So let's see where this goes in the next few weeks. Asuka will continue her run as women's champion with a rematch from TakeOver against Nikki Cross and Ruby Riott in 2 weeks. I look forward to that match. The best thing about NXT's women division is they don't try to mimic any of the current women stars. They're their own characters, and these three are unlike any women stars that we've seen prior, and it should be another good match. Ember Moon will be waiting in the wings for her shot at the title as she has been medically cleared to return. So I think we'll see a good match in a couple weeks, and it'll all lead up to Ember Moon getting her shot at the next TakeOver. The main event was Roderick Strong and Cassius Ohno taking on Sanity's Eric Young and Alexander Wolfe. And it was good to see all the four stars in action. It was a solid match when we saw EY try to get revenge for Strong's pinfall over him at TakeOver Chicago. And while Sanity spent much of the match working over Ohno, it all changed when he finally got to tag in to Roddy. Strong came in like a house of fire, worked over Wolfe with forearms and flying knees, almost got the pinfall, but the old boot on the ropes got him at the two count. A blind tag saw EY get the advantage for a moment with a neckbreaker, but before Wolfe could land a shot in, while EY held him, Ohno came in with the big boot and took him out. EY would then look to Killian Dane from the outside to finish off Strong, but No Way Jose came from the back and pulled Dane off the apron. This allowed Strong to get the upper hand, and he hit his finisher to get the pinfall. Let me say that for years of watching Roderick Strong and everything that he did, winning everything there was to win in Ring of Honor, the guy can flat out go. Does he have the mic chops to make it big time in the WWE? We'll find out as he goes on, but I think it's time for him to get the push up to take on Bobby Roode, and that should be some excellent wrestling. So stay tuned. Keep watching NXT every Wednesday on the WWE Network. And this is Steve Gaines with your update for NXT for the week of June 3rd. Have a great day. Back to you, Mike. This is Mr. Entertainment, Steve Gaines, with your PBW Impact 2-week update for June 3rd. Let's start with May 25th, Impact Wrestling. Started out with Bruce Pritchard strolls to the ring. And when he comes out, he's got Tyrus in tow, his hired bodyguard. He wants to address EC3's actions. He says he'll be dealt with later. And then says he wants to find the number one contender for Bobby Lashley's World Championship. And this brings out EC3, who claims he should be number one contender, and then Magnus and James Storm come out and claim they should be number one contender, all which is going to happen in a three-way later that night. No one's allowed to touch each other before the match, or the match will be called off. Our first match ends up being actually KM and Kongo Kong with Sienna and Laurel Van Ness versus Mahabali Shira and Braxton Sutter with Ali. Now, I don't even know where to start with this ever-going feud between these two sides. It seems like it's been going on forever, and it's something where at some point we have to move on. Now, CN and Van Ness interfere every opportunity they get to keep KM and Kong in control of the match. Eventually, a battered Shira tags in a fresh Sutter, who comes in as the proverbial house of fire, hits a neck breaker from the corner, takes out KM, but Kong reemerges and takes out both Sutter and Shira. Laurel decides it's a good time to give Shira a kiss. Allie decides it's not a good idea. Allie ends up taking out Sienna and Van Ness with the crossbody. Kong headbutts Shira. KM gets the roll up and holds the tights for the pin. And then the brawl is on. Allie gets attacked by both of her foes. And it looks grim until women's champion Rosemary comes down the ramp. Van Ness and Sienna expect her to pick the bones of Allie, but instead Rosemary attacks them and helps Allie. Where could this be heading, and why would Rosemary save Allie? So many questions. On to the GFW Tag Team Title Tournament. The GFW was merged with Impact, so I'm not sure why we even care about the GFW Tag Team Champs, since they should just retire the titles and concentrate on the Impact Champs. No? Well, all right then. Let's keep going. Veterans of War take on Fallaball and Maria, and Mario Bacara and Bomb Bacara against some early offense before being squashed by the bigger and stronger VFW. The mother of all bombs finishes Bacara off for the pin. Now we move on to our weekly Josh Matthews versus Jeremy Borash Boarfest. This week, Josh apologizes and asks JB to shake his hand before JB's attorney, Joseph Park, comes down and tells him not to. Josh then says that his handshake wasn't genuine anyway, and the two will face him and his surprise partner in Slammiversary. That riles up Park, who just gets himself all fired up when Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump, is revealed as Josh's partner. Steiner chases JB into the crowd, and then after a low blow on Park's by Matthews, he slaps on the Steiner recliner on the would-be lawyer. You know, Matthews takes over JB's spot at the announce table for the rest of the show, so not all was lost. Eli Drake challenged Moose for the Grand Championship next week, to which Moose accepts while he's being held back by security. Next, we've got Davey Richards and Angelina Love versus Eddie Edwards and Alicia, a mixed tag team match. Now, if you remember when I said the Sienna-Allie feud was getting tired, it's got nothing on this feud. I actually thought this feud ended twice already, only to be wrong when I tune in next week, and there he is again. We start off with some really gross kissing by Richards and Love, per usual. Davey and Eddie do all their usual moves. Angelina interferes. Alicia takes her and Davey out with a flying crossbody. Eventually, Alicia gets tagged in, and she attacks Angelina. Angelina goes for a bicycle kick. Alicia avoids it, rolls her up for the pin. Yay! It's all over. We're done with this feud. Oh, no, wait, no, wait. Attack from behind. Another week of seeing Eddie handcuffed to the bottom rope, and this time he has to watch Angelina Love put his wife through a table before she and Davey have more gross makeout time. I puke in my mouth, and we go to commercial. Rockstar Spud gave us an update on his horrible condition after Swoggle attacked him weeks ago with the hammer. He's been in the hospital, apparently, which is weird since I've seen him wrestling in the UK. But hey, let's pretend it's 1997 we don't all have the internet and watch independent wrestling all over the world. Anyways, coming back next week to teach Swoggle a lesson. I'll never see it coming. Finally, we get to the main event. The winner will be the number one contender, despite the fact that we were told for weeks that the GFW champion would have the inside track on that spot. This match between Storm and Magnus and EC3 actually is pretty decent. It takes on a little bit of a hardcore niche to it. A lot of kendo stick action. The old, you know, Storm takes him out at one point and takes a steel chair and starts beating him up. And then we get the old proverbial flimsy garbage can between the legs on Magnus, and Storm cracks it with the steel chair. Magnus cries because his poor jib cage is in a shambles. They all go back and forth, and at the end, EC3 ends up winning because Storm hits a super kick, knocks out Magnus, and then EC3 just knocks him out of the ring and takes the pin himself. So we're going to the next week of June 1st. EC3 comes out and has a Barbershop 6 singing ridiculous versions of his theme song and other songs about how he's the number one contender. It sucks so bad that I almost quit this job just so I wouldn't have to do this update and relive it. Anyway, Alberto El Patron's music interrupts the quartet, as apparently EC3 has no idea that a quartet is only four people, and he has six in the ring singing, but whatever, let's just go with it. Patron says he's the GFW champion, the real number one contender. And before they can throw fisticuffs, here comes roly-poly Bruce Pritchard, only this time he's got Karen Jarrett and Dutch Mantel in tow. He comes out in what's apparently some sort of retirement community segment. But Pritchard announces the two will wrestle in a steel cage in the main event, and the winner will be in the number one contender. Despite the fact, this is the 2 weeks prior, we thought we had a number one contender. First with a GFW championship, and last week with the three-way match. But no, we still have to go further to get our number one contender. So these two will wrestle in a steel cage. The winner will not only be the GFW champion, but this week's number one contender. Moose and Eli Drake faced off in the Grand Championship match this week, and it was a good match. I'd actually like to see more of these two compete. Hope it continues going into Slammiversary. Both wrestlers have done good work this past year, and both have deserved their push and deserve a further push. Put on a good show. Moose beats Eli Drake by split decision. Eli Drake, you know, he berates the judges, thinks he deserved to win, and I think we'll go further with that as Moose keeps the Grand Championship for now. We'll go backstage where Allie is acting stupid, as always. Rosemary shows up and tells Allie that she's protecting her because the voices of the Hive have told her to protect her. So, there you go. We'll get a promo for tonight's X Division title match, and then we see Swoggle in the crowd. Woohoo! Allie wrestles a newcomer in Amber Nova, who looks promising. Very athletic. Looks like she's going to be a decent wrestler. Allie gets beat up a bit, then explodes into some offense and acts surprised and dumb as usual. Then gets beat up some more and explodes into more offense and acts surprised and dumb yet again. Eventually, she wins with a Death Valley driver and acts shocked, like she always does when she wins, hugs everybody, and acts stupid. At some point, they've got to stop this stupid nonsense and let a damn fine wrestler get on with her career. Now, you know, at some point, they have to have her stop acting stupid and let a damn fine wrestler get on with her career. We move on. JB and Joseph Park drive up in a golf cart. Hooray. LAX and the Veterans of War, they finally get to wrestle for the GFW tag titles in a no-DQ match. While I still understand why we need the GFW titles, we can just make this an Impact tag title match and get on with it. I am excited for these two teams. This version of LAX can flat out go, and VOW are a classic tag team that actually remind me a lot of Scott Norton and Buff Bagwell back in the day. You know, the quick wrestler and powerful strongman teams, a classic staple of wrestling going back to teams like Power and Glory, and even further back to Ole Anderson and Thunderbolt Patterson. But anyway, it's a good back-and-forth encounter with lots of LAX interference from the outside, as we would expect, especially in a no-DQ match. VOW look like they're about to get the Duke as Mayweather hits Santana with an end of days and tags in Wilcox, who hits Ortiz with a big fall-away slam and a clothesline followed by a Samoan drop. A big guy can really move. He's got the pin. That's a two count. Diamante pulls a ref out of the ring. And in the mayhem, Conan cracks Mayweather with what looks like a pipe on the outside. Homicide clicks Wilcox with a flag, just clocks him right in the back. Ortiz and Santana then hit the blockbuster powerbomb on Wilcox for the 1-2-3, and LAX now have two titles. And frankly, I like it. I like where they're going with both the LAX and the Veterans of War. It's a shame they don't have more tag teams. Having two tag team titles when you only have like five tag teams is probably not the best idea. Hopefully they get that straightened out. We'll go backstage to JB, and he does an interview where he talks about how he always wanted to be a commentator. He never wanted to be a wrestler, and he sure doesn't want to wrestle Scott Steiner. Joseph Park insists, telling him he needs to do it, and JB tells him he's lost his mind and runs off, hopefully forever. Loki defends the X Division title against Andrew Everett next. And it's a good match. It really is a classic X Division style match. Both had a lot of their signature moves, back and forth, fast. The things that we look forward to in an X Division match. But it's obvious with Sanjay Dutt doing guest commentary and the things he's talking about, how he feels Low-Key injured him, that really this match is just a setup for Low-Key to wrestle against Sanjay Dutt when they go when they go overseas next week. After hitting all their signature moves, eventually Everett would go for the shooting star press. Low-Key gets his knees up. That sets up the double boots in the corner, and he hits the Warrior's Way for the 1-2-3. Afterwards, Sanjay Dutt and Low-Key have words setting up a showdown. Then we see Swoggle in the crowd again. And what's this? Rockstar Spud attacks him from behind, just like he said he would. Never saw it coming. He pushes him through the ring area and beats him with a hammer from under the ring to get his revenge. If only the two could beat each other to death, so I wouldn't have to see them wrestle each other in the inevitable opening of Slammiversary. Now we've got Alberto El Patron versus EC3 in a steel cage match, and it was a good match for the time that they had, and they both hit a lot of their signature moves, teased their finishers, and had near escapes from the cage. In the end, El Patron gets EC3 in the Tree of Woe, climbs to the top of the cage, and delivers his stomp from the top. It was a good bit of work. And it's something that I hadn't seen before from the top of the cage, so I enjoyed that. He gets a frog splash, wins. He is the number one contender, again, unless Bruce Pritchard decides to have more matches for the number one contendership every 5 minutes until the start of Slammiversary. God, I hope not. That is your TNA update for 6-3, and have a great day. This is Steve Gaines. Back to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Steve, for that amazing update. I would just like to say that I'm an idiot, and I forgot to unmute my microphone between Steve's updates. So you got back-to-back TNA and NXT, and probably some silence in between, so I apologize for that. What I had said, and you did not hear, was poor Steve, his son's phone goes off in the middle of the audio there in the middle of his report, and it throws off his concentration, and I was trying to bring that up beforehand, so you were aware of it, and that did not happen. I was supposed to fix the audio, and up until the very last second when the show started, I could not get the audio to the work the way that I needed it to, so I just threw it on here, and there you go. Anyways, my point is, Steve is awesome. His reporting in on these different shows is very detailed, and I appreciate that. And this week, he threw in a bit of snark, which I loved. Thank you very much for that, Steve. I'm thinking that this show is probably going to be a short one, folks. Last week was super long. This week it looks like it's going to be short, because normally I would go to Parts Unknown, which I'm going to do right now.
Now entering Parts Unknown.
And in Parts Unknown, this is where we would take comments and phone calls and all that business. And still, nobody in chat, nobody is calling on the line. Last week, it was pretty great because I was able to interview my friend Chris Anderson, friend and fellow comedian. And we were able to talk about Ultimate Warrior some and a little bit of his childhood and the wrestling that happened that he was into before. But this week, I don't have an interview. But what I can talk about is this damned Camp WWE episode. This is where we're going to talk about that business. Listen, guys, this show, I completely understand why it's not going to be on air anymore, which is, I guess that's the case. The last episode ended a while ago, and I feel like I read somewhere on the interwebs that the series has been canceled. Makes sense. I'm fine with that. I kind of liked the concept, but what I didn't like is that the only voices of actual characters or actual people was Ric Flair and Vince McMahon. They had all of these other characters, all these other wrestlers, all these other superstars that were other people. Now, granted, I think they did that because the kids or the characters or whatever, the campers are younger, so they didn't want to have these older voiced superstars, and they didn't want to have them on there voicing these characters and being old when the characters are young. But still, I feel like they could have not been so lazy about it and figured something out to where they were actually able to incorporate the real superstars into this. But anywho, that's my overall opinion. What ended up happening in this episode was it was the first time going to camp. People were, there were some campers showing up. They went down Dusty Road, which was I thought was kind of funny that they threw that in there. Vince McMahon is a total asshole. We end up finding out a little later why that exactly is. He was drinking some McMahonade, which if I left it at that, you would think that maybe it was Siemens, but it was more of a Gatorade type situation, I think. But I thought that was kind of funny. Triple H and Stephanie are the counselors. Triple H is a real dum-dum, and Stephanie is a real daddy's girl. Again, they were a little older. They weren't even voiced by the actual people. again, I feel like that's sloppy and sad. Why is it that these characters are based on real people, but they only have four fingers on each hand? So that's disturbing. Like, they're supposed to be these real characters modeled after real people, and they have four fucking fingers. All right. I guess that's that. The whole overarching theme of this episode is that John Cena is homesick and he wants to go home. Vince McMahon doesn't want that to happen, because if people start getting homesick and they start leaving, then he's not making money. So he does everything that he can to try to keep the little John Cena there at the camp, including Operation Slaughter, which is Sergeant Slaughter just chilling in a cabin waiting with a giant rocket launcher that he's ready to just blast shit out of this, you know, out of camp with. So that was kind of funny. I can't remember if Sergeant Slaughter talked at all, so I don't know if he was actually voiced by Slaughter or not. But anywho, there was some real foul language in this cartoon, which I was surprised by, but then at the same time I wasn't. There was pussy dropped. There was just all kinds of shit dropped in this this cartoon, which was interesting. And then there was Ric Flair humping everything he could get his fucking hands on. This dirty old man went from humping a rock to a bear to a tire swing. Later on, back to a bear. They pulled this Ric Flair crying bit that went on forever and could have stopped 15 minutes early. All I know is that the camp pretty much, I think, went on lockdown under a cage. The whole thing gets set on fire. We find out that Vince McMahon was Camper Zero, which, way back, there was Camper Zero who got homesick and left and ends up putting the camp out of business. So that's what Vince was afraid of. But then we find out that camper that was homesick and put the camp out of business was Vince McMahon. So then he has some kind of weird come to Jesus moment or whatever. So that was pretty much that episode. The takeaway is that it was awful. Super boring. Very dirty. I have no problem with dirty. You've heard the things that I've been saying, so you shouldn't be surprised by that at all. But I wasn't thrilled with it. But guess what, guys? We're going to keep on pushing on. We're going to watch the rest of these damn episodes, and we're going to fucking talk about them. Because I feel like that is our duty as Americans. Not even as Americans, just as people in general, to watch this god-awful cartoon and discuss. I would love to be discussing with a live human at this point, but guys, still zero calls, zero people's in chat. So that's sad. That's all I have right now for Parts Unknown. I guess we're going to go ahead and we're going to get to the finish and wrap this thing up early. So let's go. And here we are at the finish. I want to thank Steve Gaines again for providing some audio on NXT and TNA Impact Wrestling. I appreciate that very much. He's a great guy, and I am very thankful that he wants to participate in this particular radio show program podcast thing. A thing that you are shoving into your ear holes, whether you like it or not, and I appreciate it. Don't worry, we're going to get better. I will remember to unmute myself so I can talk to you and there isn't some weird silence. I am determined, starting tomorrow with Extreme Rules on the WWE Network for $9.99 I am determined to make detailed notes. I'm going to come back here, and you're going to think that I have turned into Steve Gaines, and I'm going to give you all the deets and the happenings, what happens on Extreme Rules and the other wrestling programs throughout the week. We're going to watch we're going to suffer through episode 2 of Camp WWE. I don't have the title of the episode right here on me at this point in time, but episode 2, so it's season 1, episode 2, we're going to watch that, and I will talk about that on the next show. You can follow me on Instagram at mmorecomedy, so M-M-O-O-R-E comedy, that's Instagram. You can follow Botched Wrestling on Instagram, so that's at Botched Wrestling. You can follow Botched Wrestling on Twitter, but that's at Botched Wrestling. No G on the end, because that's too many letters. Questions, concerns, if you want to cuss me out because this show was absolute garbage this week, you can contact the show at botchedwrestling@gmail.com. So comments, questions, concerns, wondering how my well-being is, because this has been a real shit show. I apologize for that. I promise you it's just a learning experience. This is the second episode. We're going to get through this thing, and maybe I'll use my words right. I won't stumble over them next time. You can find the sources in the show description. This week it was just Cage Side. Sorry. Is that right? What happened? Cage Side Seats. I was right. I was getting there. Cage Side Seats for the rumor roundup this week. That I think is going to be about it, guys. I still see zero folks in chat. Zero people calling on the switchboard. Man, guys, this episode is like half of what last week was. But thank you very much for sticking with it. If you did that, you are the best. And until next time, in the second episode of Camp WWE, my name is Michael Moore, and this has been... What has it been? This has been PBW. Look at that, I got it out right this time. PBW, Professionally Botched Wrestling. Goodbye.